At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome in, everybody. It's Kostaki Economopoulos, host of All Pro Lines, the podcast, CEO, head writer of All Pro Lines, the comedy brand. Hope you're good. Thanks for being here. We got a lot to talk to you about. Chris Bowers is our guest tonight. Today, I don't know what time it is. We've been trying to figure out a schedule to do this for a while. We got there. We're doing it. Apologies to those of you who have asked for prior warning the next time. I hear you. I know we moved it around today. I didn't know when it was going to be. So here we are. Most of you will listen in your ear holes whenever the hell you want. So that's good. Football season is back. As Chick McGee says, our long national nightmare is over. Football begins Thursday night. Eagles, Cowboys. We got a Brazil game on Friday. We got all kinds of big old NFL slate on Sunday. I got all my fantasy implications and confidence pool and survivor pool and pick'em leagues and every possible over-under pool. It's ridiculous how many things I'm in. I'm even doing a zombie league this year with Andreas and some other the knucklehead lunatics who love fantasy so much that they think nothing of adding a sixth fantasy league situation. Anyway, I'm excited. I got a little bit of a beard going. I got a little sunset out the window. It's 5:30 here in Los Angeles. Still big, bright, beautiful skies. Might even go for a walk after this. All right, let's do a couple quick announcements. And I this weekend I'm going to be in. If you're hearing this in time, I'm going to be in Mason City on Friday, September 5th, Mason City, Illinois. It's a great little club run by a comedian and comedy nerd. It's awesome. If you've never been there and you're in Illinois, make a trek. It's so cool. It seats 80 max. So we're doing one show on Friday. And then I'm driving over to the other extreme. I'm doing a big-ass, beautiful theater at Belterra Casino in southern Indiana with Greg Hahn and Bob Zaney. To honor the life of Donnie Baker, make some money for that cause, and run around, drink some beer with Greg Hahn. Looking forward to both of those shows very much. Then in 2 weeks after that, I'm doing Madison, Wisconsin, and Plymouth, Indiana. And I got a lot of gigs coming up. I'm going to go to Berlin and see the Falcons play with my brother. And then on the way home, I'm stopping in Iowa. Who goes to Berlin and stops in Iowa on the way home to tell jokes? That's me. That's how I do travel. So that'll be good. If you're interested in doing some gambling, some wagering, I forget the language I'm allowed to use. You're doing some gaming of some kind. We have two friends in the universe. We've got BetMGM on board here at All Pro Lines, the podcast. And also Underdog Fantasy. BetMGM is one of the giants. If you want to do any of the traditional sports gaming, you can do that with them. And we'll hook you up with the best promo that they have. And, of course, we'll do the same thing over at Underdog Fantasy as well. That one's more for fantasy-oriented things like Christian McCaffrey yards over or under 95.5 or whatever. You can pick those kind of things. It's super fun to, especially on the island games like Sunday night and Monday night, Thursday night. It's fun to have a little action on the game. Highly recommend those two places. And we've got links on our social media pages to those guys. Again, they're affiliate programs. We give you the best deal that they offer in the industry. And they give us a couple of shekels for sending you their way. You know, it's that kind of arrangement. All right, let's do some jokes.
2 minute drill.
You want to open the show by making fun of Bill Belichick? So do I. This is going to work out great. Everyone's going to be happy with this. The University of North Carolina and Bill Belichick lost 48-14 last night. I know that seems like a big gap, but think about it. Belichick's 73 and his girlfriend's 24. So when he was 48, she was minus one. That's right. When Bill Belichick was 48 years old, his girlfriend wouldn't be born for another year. So 48-14, it's pretty close. It's downright close. Cowboys traded superstar Micah Parsons to the Packers for a player and two first-round picks. With his new draft picks, Jerry Jones is hoping to hit on a Micah Parsons type. He traded Elvis, and now he's hoping to get an Elvis impersonator. That's how this guy runs the business at the Cowboys. He's the most valuable franchise in the world. Most valuable sports franchise on the earth. This is how he runs it. What a character. People thought the Browns were bad at trading, and Jerry Jones was like, hold my Metamucil. Former Bears quarterback Jay Cutler got a DUI. Police say he had bloodshot eyes and seemed out of it. To be fair, that's what Jay Cutler always looks like. This is no surprise. We knew Jay Cutler couldn't finish a drive. Jokes, everybody. Jokes. They also found a loaded gun in his trunk. Jay Cutler boos a gun in a pickup truck in Tennessee. This sounds like a Kid Rock video or a game of white trash Clue. It was Jay Cutler with the pistol in the pickup. Florida is removing books by Kurt Vonnegut and George Orwell, but they're keeping the Jaguars playbook. Talking about a slaughterhouse. And the Jaguars look like they're using plays from 1984. Those are some highfalutin literary references, everybody. Don't miss those. The Colts are going to start Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson in a strategic move to upset everyone. The bad news for Anthony Richardson, if he can't keep up with these Joneses, he's headed for Canadian football. Richardson's built like a Greek god. Jones is built like a Greek comedian. Not quite as ripped. Daniel Jones would definitely trip over my name. You see, because he trips over nothing in the open field. I don't know if you remember that play. All right. In college, because of his initials, AR, and his number was 15, Anthony Richardson was nicknamed AR-15, which is so, it's such a great nickname, but he had to distance himself from it, you know, because of the murdering. So now he's number five. He should go by Choco Cinco. He's one of the most athletically gifted athletes ever tested, but he's not a consistent passer. What a bummer he picked quarterback. Just pick something else. Be a tight end. Be an edge rusher. Just go do a different. Even Tim Tebow tried baseball eventually. Like, Tebow hit a home run his first at bat in the minors. Remember that? Yeah. I was like, how could a guy's never been to second base hit a home run? Come on, that's a good joke. What do you want in a joke? He was a virgin, for the love of God. All right, we got to do this because these are some of my favorite jokes. Last jokes of the – not. Well, you're going to do plenty of jokes today, but last football joke. The Falcons have a new quarterback, Michael Penix. And our boy Brian Miller, who's a longtime newspaper editor, he called me and he goes, Penix autocorrects to penis. We're going to have some big mistake headlines at some point. So I present to you 10 or so possible Michael Penix mistake headlines. You ready? Here we go. Cousins out, penis in. Penis soft in first start. Penis struggles, yanked in third quarter. Falcons finally put in aging penis. Penis explodes in fourth quarter. Penis uses legs to run all over Cowboys. There's an image. Here's my favorite. Penis proves incapable of good decisions. Fans demand more penis. Steelers can't shake penis. Controversy after lineman spits on penis. Falcons want penis to stay in the pocket. Penis erupts early, sleeps through second half. And finally, Falcons win with penis out. It's penis comedy, everybody. What's not to love? All right. Speaking of penis, here's Chris Bowers.
Never has anyone associated with penis before.
What's up, bud?
Penis creams cowboys.
Yeah, that's good. See, penis jokes are fun to write.
Penis jokes are great. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks for your flexibility. Sorry we got so screwed up.
No problem. The second base Tim Tebow joke was very funny. I like that. That was.
Oh, yeah. That one's been around a while. I do that in my act sometimes.
All right, that's a great joke.
Thanks, man. I guess he's not a virgin anymore. He got married eventually.
Yeah, apparently. Well, but you know what? I feel like when you wait that long, you probably don't have sex even once you get married.
That guy. I mean, did he really do it? Handsome, Heisman Trophy winning superstar at college. He didn't get
people
laid.
Like, oh, they hate Tim Tebow because he's a religious or whatever. I'm like, no, people hate Tim Tebow because he fucking ruined his potential. He fucking he could. You know how many women he could have fucked in Florida? All
in
of them.
Florida.
He done, all none. Of,
I know.
You've given a gift all, that any every man in the world would want that gift.
At least all of them, right? All of them twice. Yeah.
I mean,
I know, right? Just, I mean, I made fun of Tim Tebow for the whole decade, whatever it's been since he's been around. But I got to say, he walks the walk. Like, he does all these benefit things. He built a hospital in the Philippines. You know, these other assholes are beating up their girlfriends.
Better than all of us, I'm sure. Yes, he's a better man.
They're getting DUIs. He's like doing a thing with the Special Olympics. He's a good dude.
So I don't know if you know my merch that I sell now is I toured with Hofstetter. He wrote a book, and so to kind of fuck with him, I didn't write a book. I just made book covers for Steve's book that looked like one of my tuxedo jackets. So it's a tuxedo dust jacket for a book. And so I went and tried to find what's the dumbest book I could find that's not political that I could just show that everyone would laugh at and think, oh my God, no, he's reading that. And the book I use when I pull off the book cover is Tim Tebow, Mission Possible.
Oh, really?
That was the dumbest book I could find. And the first time I did the joke and had the merch, I was in Fort Wayne and there's a dude in a Tim Tebow jersey in the front row. This was 2 years ago. It wasn't like it happened when he was playing in Florida. Like, I'm like, what is happening? So that joke kills. When I throw that book, it kills everywhere but Florida. And in Florida, like, hey, what you saying about Tim Tebow?
Go fuck yeah, right, stop. Right.
Like, it doesn't get a laugh.
Why is
there,
that right? Your joke? Why would he be the joke book? Like,
right. Why wouldn't you be reading Tim Tebow Mission Possible? What the hell's wrong?
How is it? Did you peruse it at least? How's the book?
No, I've not read it. Well, so people like, I don't buy book covers because I don't read books. I'm like, I don't read books either. I haven't read that book. That's the funny part. I haven't read a single book. I've read three books my whole life.
You schlep it around and do the joke, but you've never read it. No. Don't even flip through it on the plane.
I read Catcher in the Rye, I read Bonfire of the Vanities, and I read Jay Leno's Headlines. Those are the only three books I've ever read in my whole life.
It's a funny list. Catcher in the Rye is the only book I ever read twice. That's so weird that that's one of your three. That's the only one I liked that they made me read.
It was the best book I ever read. I'm like, I'm done. I don't need to read books anymore. I read the best one. You know?
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a good one. And the only comic I ever saw when I was in Australia for the comedy festival, I had my little badge and I could go to any of the shows for free. And there were some of the greatest English speaking comics on the earth were there. All kinds of crazy different shows from Ireland and, you know, like weird music, rock band comedy from New Zealand. It was every possible thing. And the only show I went to see twice was Maria Bamford. It was so good. She's so good.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
I'm glad she's doing well. It was cool to see Marc Maron give her some props out of nowhere. This was 2 weeks ago or whatever. Maron gushed about her for a few minutes on something. Nice. I'm glad she's doing well. So, hey, you and I, all right, let's talk briefly. Briefly, we got to talk football. You're a Bengals fan. We talked a couple days ago just to set up the podcast, and you're all in. You're into it. You think it's going to happen.
I think so. I had a brief moment for a second last night. There's a joke I wrote in the fourth quarter of the game yesterday, or the first quarter of the game last night, was Belichick wins a national title at North Carolina this year. The Bengals stumble one more time, and then the Bengals fire Zach Taylor and hire Bill Belichick, and then Bill Belichick has Burrow win 7 Super Bowls in a row, eclipsing Tom Brady and then becoming the ultimate winner of the whole thing. And then I watched the rest of the North Carolina game. I said, no, actually, I don't want Bill Belichick this year. Let's just win it this year with Zach. Let's not try to get 7. Let's not be greedy. I think this is it, man. This is our window. We got all of our people back. I think the defense is going to be really good. People keep shitting on the defense, but I think that my theory is Al Golden, who's our new defensive coordinator, was our linebackers coach when we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that year, we were really – we took the ball away a lot. That was our thing. We, you know, bend, don't break, whatever. That's, you hear that a lot, but that's really what we were doing. We were just getting a lot of turnovers. And then when Al Golden left, we stopped getting so many turnovers. And that's why our defense became terrible. And I don't know if you know this, but then Al Golden was the defensive coordinator of where? Notre Dame, who led the league, led the college football in takeaways for two straight years and went to the national championship last year.
Right, right.
So I think he might have been the guy that was doing the game planning that was getting those turnovers. And we drafted two new linebackers. We got the defensive end kid. You know, the defensive end guy looks pretty good. So I think this is – and then my hot take is the Bengals are going to score a touchdown in the first 35 drives of the season.
That's preposterous.
You cannot fucking stop us. You will not stop us the first five games. We're going to go 49-0, 49, 49, 49, five games in a row, 49 points. And it doesn't matter what the defense does then. It'll be 49, 42. We don't give a shit.
You're very all right. That's very, very optimistic. I'm rooting for you. That would be a hell of a bold prediction to pull off. I mean,
Burrow's the man, dude, and this is his prime. This is the best year. You know what I mean? He's right there. He's got his receivers. We got two badass tight ends. We've got a good running back room. We finally shored up the offensive line. We've got, you know, our number one pick from Latin. I mean, everybody's healthy going to the seat. I mean, again, you got to stay healthy. That's really the key to that. No one talks about in the NFL. Stay healthy, you do well. You don't, you suck. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So yeah, I mean, we're three injuries away from being terrible, but I, you know,
right. Everybody. Yeah, that's so, right. Yeah. I like it. You're peak off season fan, like first week, let's go. We're going to score 35 drives in a row. Okay.
Not score, touchdown.
I right? know. That's even crazier. I like it. Now, when we, a year or so ago, the Bengals started to suck and were out of it, and you were down on football and you were like, I'm breaking up with them. I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, if this was a relationship, I would be stupid to stay in it. Yeah. And I was like, you have to have some other interest. You have to have a fantasy league. You got to be gambling on something. You just have to spread out your interest. You got to have a confidence pool. You got to have a something.
Well, you got to understand that, like, you know, this, and I'm being serious when I say this, like, this Joe Burrow team's the first time I'd ever had hope before.
Right.
Like, Andy Dalton teams I rooted for. Carson Palmer teams I rooted for. I liked them. But no part of me thought we were going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know? I mean, even Boomer Esiason, I didn't think we were going to win the Super Bowl when I was in high school. Like, I thought, oh, we're doing well. But it wasn't like we had the best quarterback and the best team and the whatever. I mean, so then I got hope. We went to the Super Bowl. We went to the AFC Championship game, you know, lost by a field goal, blah, blah, blah. And then 2 years of injuries, and then last year I was like, all right, let's go. This is the year. And then, you know, we went 0-4, and it was just terrible.
Right.
We couldn't. Yeah. It was very, very frustrating. But I will say, I got to appreciate the rest of the NFL. Like, I stopped watching Bengals games. I didn't watch Bengals games for the last. Well, I there was a thing where every time I didn't watch, they won. So I didn't watch a bunch of games in a while. And then they lost one I didn't watch. I'm like, oh, I guess it's not me. Which was disappointing.
Good read.
It doesn't revolve around me, you know. It's not what I do. It affects the Bengals, which is weird. Like, my brain thinks it controls the Bengals somehow, but that. You know. But anyway, so then I watched some at the end. But like, I think would you admit that last year, Bengals team was the best team to miss the playoffs in the history of the NFL?
Yeah, I do. Yes, absolutely. They started so badly.
That Patriots game one, or they don't get screwed by the refs in the Chiefs game, or they don't get, right. You know, the three, if one of the three face masks is called during the 2-point conversion against
the
Ravens.
Nobody wanted to play them at the
end. We get one. If we get in that playoff, we run to the Super Bowl, no question. I mean, I the fact that the Chiefs got the Super Bowl again just because they're the Chiefs and everybody's scared of them. I mean, they were not that great last year.
I'm done with the Chiefs and their tentative offense. This, like, we're going to just play good D and be conservative. Go fuck yourselves. You're the Chiefs. Throw it all over the yard. That's the fun Chiefs.
You got the best quarterback. Just do it. You know what I mean?
I know. What are you doing? Hopefully losing, getting your ass kicked in the Super Bowl is like, okay, we're going to put the gas back on the offense. That's what I'm rooting for as a fan.
We'll see.
And as a fantasy dork. So, yeah, it reminds me, I should pitch the All-Pro Lines confidence pool, and I may as well pitch it to you personally, because you should play in it, and then the listeners will also hear. If you've never played in a confidence pool, it's the best pool there is. You don't pick against the spreads. You just pick the team straight up, and if there's 16-game slate, you put the number of points that you're confident that your pick 16 for, you know, say Eagles, Cowboys, you're like, Eagles are going to blow them out. You put the 16 points on that one. And then like Falcons, Saints, you're like, ah, it's a coin flip. I'm going to put 1 or 2 or 3 points on that. And you put the points on them. So it's a confidence pool, not a spread thing. So
now, do you have way to use all the points like Sudoku, or can I put 16 on all of them?
No, no. You get to apply the number 16 through number 1 for each game. So 16, 15, 14, and you apply your confidence level. It's the best way to play Pick'em. It's so much more fun. It makes the games fun to watch. You got to join in. We're playing against Bob Kavoyan and Kostaki and Andreas and Chris Bowers. I can pitch you.
Yeah, I'm in. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's, the links are at the All Pro Lines social media pages in the bio. Join in, and we ask for a donation to the V Foundation as like an entry fee. And I give away tickets to Kostaki shows every week. And then at the end of the season, we give away some All Pro Lines shirts as well. And I enjoy those costs. And by the way, the V Foundation is a great organization. They have endowments that cover their operating expenses. So every penny that you donate goes directly to cutting edge cancer research. It's the kind of stuff that we're working on as human beings, that the kind of thing that saved my brother's life. We're able to do bone marrow transplants. That kind of thing is what they're working on, and hopefully someday a cure. So that's the one serious thing we do. Contribute to this thing. Whatever you is, $5 is fine, and $50 and $100, whatever. We have a couple donors donate 1,000 this year, and some guys are donating 10, 20, 30, whatever you can swing. So that's what we ask as an entry fee. Come join us. Get in there before the Thursday night game so you're eligible for the whole arc of it.
Yeah, one year for my birthday, we did a drink-a-thon that benefited the V Foundation. So we you know, you do like a walk-a-thon, but we're like, ah, we're just good. Most of the fundraisers are just an excuse to drink anyway. So we just had people donate. My mom gave me a quarter for every drink I had the week of my birthday. And we had like events every day. We had 7 days. And everybody had a little lanyard. And every time you did a shot or drank a beer, you put a mark on it. And
that's great.
So I think we raised like $6,000 or $7,000. But we called it the Million Beer March. And then the back of the shirt said, if we party hard enough, we might just cure cancer.
I love all of that. What year?
I was probably 2006, maybe 2000.
So you're like 30, 35, 30, something like that.
20 years ago. Yeah. I was 31. Probably might've been my 30th birthday week. Maybe.
But that's great.
I drank 147 drinks in 6 days.
Holy shit. Yeah, I was going to say, I would be terrified to pledge per drink for Chris Bowers.
He drank 173 drinks, and Dutch Log won. He drank 173 drinks in 6 days. So we like went roller skating. We had a kickball tournament. We did beer pong. We had a flip cup tournament. We did all kinds of fun stuff.
That's great. I love that idea. I've never heard of that ever. That's a great idea. Love that.
Monetize your alcoholism, because I need to cure cancer, you know? We said that we go. Can you put this to liver cancer, please?
Yeah, we're on
which cancer next. we want to help.
We don't care about breast cancer this week. That's a different thing. Yeah,
well, you know, it went half breast, half liver.
We got a couple people in the comments. Ron Milford is here. What's up, man? And Dennis Tim. He said, dude, you coming back to Janesville? Close. I'm doing Madison this time.
I was just in Janesville. Me and Jeff died in Janesville, that cool little club in the basement.
You did the comedy cabin?
Yeah.
It's great, right? It's got heart. It's run by a comic. I love that kind of shit.
It's impressive in a little place like that, and you see the wall of who's been there. You're like, holy shit, you guys get real dudes. This is awesome. You know,
right. They're willing to like have the big guns come in on a Sunday or a Thursday or something. Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're smart the way they do it. It reminds me of working for you when you were my boss. I was like, I love working for a comic because they get it and they're good to the comics, and you know, they care about the food and the hotel and the, you know, the details of the sound and shit, you know, like things are good.
You know, what's cool is that you were the person I called when I owned a comedy club, and I said, Kostaki, what do I need to do to help the comics? And you said, food, hotel. So I just did the things you told me. So of course you liked it.
Yeah, that's true. Me complimenting you on what you did is sort of slap myself on the back.
If you said other stuff, you'd be like, oh, you got to make sure you have a handle of whiskey in the green room every time. And you got to make sure there's hookers. Yeah. And there'd have been whiskey and hookers. But that's
it depends what comic you ask. That's right.
So there's certain comedies like, yeah, that mortgage was lame. The food was good. The hotel is nice, but there's no hookers or booze. It sucked or whatever, you know.
That's right. There were no Twizzlers. The ceiling wasn't low. Whatever. Everyone has a different. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They papered it, you know, whatever the.
Yeah. So.
No, you ran a good club. It was comfortable to be there, and you cared about the details and the, you know, if you can build a situation where the comics like the place, you know, they hang around and they're working on their acts and they bust each other's balls. And then you always have a good opener for whoever's coming through town. You know, it's a good setup.
For sure. We did the comedy part great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The business part, I did not do well. That was not my forte.
You launched Pat McAfee into the stratosphere for me.
Pat McAfee was going to get in the stratosphere whether I was there or not. Let's be honest. That guy's a genius and knows exactly what he's doing. And as for I remember you saying, we're watching him do stand up like the third time he's ever been on stage. He's doing an hour and 15 minutes. And you're like, how did he skip the hacky part of your career? He was that guy from the very minute he stepped in out of that canal.
Right. Yeah, he's a force of nature, that guy. Yeah, it's been kind of fun to watch him just rocket ship into the stratosphere.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
He's impressive. So.
All right, transition, my friend. I've been doing a little thing for the past several months, which I love. I don't know if it's going to be compelling to the masses, but I love this just a month premise. A week's not long enough to try something on, and a year is way too long. A month is the perfect amount of time to try something new in your life. And I literally did several things already, and they've already affected some of the ways that I walk through the world. And they're great experiments. And even if you don't love the thing, then at least you know you tried it and gave it a real shot and know you don't love it. And you and I just completed a month of try to write a joke every single day. Which is hard. It's weirdly hard. Like what I realized in my experimenting with this is I much prefer to sit down and work for 4 hours and clock out for the week construct, because you kind of get focused and you can get on a roll and you can write a bunch of stuff and then you get out of it and you go back to the other things. But I will say the process of feeling like I owed a joke to you and to the universe every single day, even like when I was on a ship in Alaska and my mom and brother were there, it made me work on it a little bit when I would have blown it off. Like I was in the shower one time and I was like, man, I got to fucking write a joke before I go to dinner. And then I'm going to get drunk. And then I got all these other things going on. And then we're going on this excursion. And I made myself do it, and it was really cool exercise. I'm glad I did it for sure. It was cool. How was it for you, man?
Well, and see, that's where I'm a completely different animal in that, like, I don't ever sit down and write a joke ever. That's not how I do it. Like, that's not at all what my process is. I've never sat down and go, okay, I'm going to write a joke about X, Y, or Z. That's not what happens. I just go in the world and talk to people, and I have, you know, this, unique perspective on the world and things in general, right?
Yeah, you do.
And so like I just find inspiration in things, you know, like, and I don't know if we're gonna get, eventually we'll get to the jokes, but like I wrote a joke last night watching
North Carolina. Ahead.
And the joke basically, this is gonna be a longer thing, but is like, they're all these people are shitting on Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, right? Because of the age difference. And it's like, I remember about 10 years ago when Twitter was still a thing, there was Dennis Quaid, who was like 66, married some 22-year-old hot girl, right? And some, you know, on Twitter, it was probably a liberal girl or whatever, was like, gross or whatever. And I responded to her and I go, you know, I'm so tired of conservatives telling people who they're allowed to love. And that's my thing, man. Isn't the whole LGBTQI plus whatever the fuck... Isn't that about you're allowed to love whoever the fuck you want?
Yeah,
so shut up. Bill Belichick's fucking awesome. He's a fucking man who's fucking won a bunch of shit and has been very successful. He's rich. He has cool friends. He does cool shit. He's bad fucking ass. What's
yeah,
she supposed
he
to
is.
Do some dude her age who's going to fucking mistreat her or not fucking settle down because he's too much of a fuck boy and he's too hot and he's got too many options to fucking pick her? somehow better because they're the same fucking age. Go fuck yourself. And then also we treat 25-year-old women like they're not awesome. Like they don't have their own agency. Like, oh, should you not be able to get married till you're 30 because you're a woman and your brain doesn't? No, fuck. The most amazing people in the history of the world have all been in their 20s. Like the fucking Beatles were in their 20s. Fucking Amelia Earhart was flying planes in her 20s. Cleopatra was her 20s. Like fucking Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, all those dudes did all that shit in their fucking 20s. 20s is the best time to ever fucking be. Right, you're not worried about dumb kids yet or anything. It's all the future. I mean, you know, fucking the Declaration. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence when he was 28. Look, so she can't form her own fucking opinions. Fucking shut up. You know what I mean?
Like, I hear you. I like it. It's contrarian to the way I went with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm saying
Tom
like
Simmons in this. Yeah.
Yeah. Just fucking let her love who she wants and let and he's not a creep because a 25-year-old awesome woman fucking loves him. Of course, that's awesome. Like why? Like
I hear you, but what do you talk about? That's my pushback. Like
I'm saying, I hang out with 25 year old people all the time. They're fucking awesome, dude. People in their 20s have the most shit going for them. You know who sucks to talk to? People in their fucking 50s. It's about their yard, dude. They don't have any fucking dreams anymore. They're the most boring motherfuckers ever. I don't hang out with people my own age because they're terrible. The greatest comics are in their 20s. The greatest athletes are in their 20s. People in their 20s are fucking great. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Their dreams and hopes, not the shit that didn't go right.
What are you talking about? But what I'm saying is, like, your experience, you're not having a common experience, though, right? They don't know what MASH is. They never listen to the Goo Goo Dolls. Like, you're not talking about any, like, your cultural touchstones are not. I know, but
my life's still existing now, Kostaki. I don't need to talk about shit that happened a long time ago.
It's fine. I just about. Like.
Hey, remember MASH? I mean, that's the whole member berries from fucking South Park. Remember Star Wars? I mean, like, fucking, I actually have a buddy who just got divorced who lives here. And all he does is quote Andrew Dice Clay. And I'm like, dude, fucking stop. He's my age. He's 52. And he quotes fucking Andrew. And I'm like, stop it. Make jokes from now. Don't remember when Dice Clay. No, I don't care about what Dice Clay said in 86. I don't give a shit. What's happening now?
It's a fair point.
Like I've always said, people always go, oh, I hate going to bars with young people. I'm like, when I go to a bar with a bunch of 20-year-olds, I feel like I'm 20. When I go to a BW3 with a bunch of 50-year-olds talking about their fucking yards and how they had to plug it this season so the crabgrass went, I feel old as fuck.
This is very Bowers of you. This is you take the contrarian position, something I don't agree with, and you just keep going until I go, all right.
Well,
all right. It's a little Bill Burr. Bill Burr does this. He takes some preposterous position.
Let people love who they love, man.
No, of course. I mean, yes. I mean, in the end, yes, I agree. Again,
let's go to her. What's her name? Jordan, right? So, okay. So if you think 25-year-olds, there's nothing to talk to, but 25-year-old dudes are fucking idiots, right?
Well, that's true.
So they're dumb. So she's going to date some loser who fucking treats her bad because
you can find a 31-year-old, baby.
Okay, or you find the fucking greatest person in the history of, I mean, he's fucking badass. Who cares that he's set? Like, how old are you, Kostaki?
He's the greatest. He's one of the greatest coaches ever, but he's not one of the greatest people. Come on.
He's a curmudgeon. He has a certain way of coaching, but he's been funny. Like, he's been, like, he doesn't care about the media and he's gruff.
I got to take it. He's not funny. He created an expectation of being funny that was so low for 40 years that now when he's a little bit light, we're like, hey, he's funny.
He is the improv like that. But I will give you that a little bit. I'm just saying he's a badass dude. She's supposed to date a fucking 25-year-old Uber driver because he's the same age as her when she's a fucking badass chick.
Overachiever guy who crushed his craft of choice for a long time. No question.
When you're in a good relationship, when you're married, even in a good one where someone you like, how often do you have sex? 8 times a week, maybe.
Yeah.
Eight hours a week. Fucking 4 times. 8 hours a month. 8 hours a month. It's 4 times a week for half an hour. If you're like all over each other, right? And that's the first couple of years. Eventually, once you're in a marriage, you fuck what? 12 times a year. Right.
I hear you. I'm following you. Yep.
4 times a month, maybe. Okay. Well, so why would you base who you're going to spend your time with on who you like sexually? That's a dumb way to do it. So she's picking this guy who's a genius, who can help her life, who's fucking got money and cool friends and connections and badass. And he's successful and probably puts the work in, if we're talking about fucking, honestly, because he's Bill Belichick. Yeah, I doubt he's mailing that in. He's got charts and graphs and fucking.
He puts the work in.
Right?
He prepares for the big game. Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's, you know, I'm sure he's got a drawer that's got football plays and probably another drawer with sex plays. He's like, all right, I go around the end and I put my finger up there. And fucking, you know,
got pills and schedules and yeah.
Yeah. So now, and that will bring me to the joke I wrote last Friday. My Friday joke was I was out, me and Jeff Dye were in Lexington, Kentucky at the Comedy Off Broadway. And my friend Ansley, who's a woman who's like my age, who lives in Jacksonville, we met her at the Saratoga shows, and she happened to be in town for business. So she's like came to the show, wanted to hang out. Well, Jeff like didn't eat all day, and he smoked a cigar right before the show, and he kind of felt lightheaded, and he was like, I got to go to bed, guys. I'm sorry. And me and Ansley were drinking, so she's like, I don't want to go to bed yet. So we Ubered to Tin Roof on UK's campus.
Oh, yeah.
First week of fucking school. School just started last week at the University of Kentucky. The Friday night before the first football game, I'm in my crushed blue tuxedo with the matching shoes. And she's a 54-year-old woman, but she's nice looking. She's dressed well. And these college kids lost their fucking minds having a good time, buying us drinks because we were just cool old people who were fucking having a good time, right?
Right.
But I will say that 52, I'm at an age where when I tell the DJ he's doing a great job, it hurts his feelings.
That's great. I go,
you're crushing this, bro. And he went, oh, fuck, really?
That's funny. I could totally see you in the blue crushed. Yes, that's funny.
Yeah. Yep. UK's blue. It was perfect, man. They were going crazy. But my point is, if I'd have gone to if you go to a bar with old people, they're not excited or fun. No one comes over and talks to you.
You're the perfect one to pitch this argument that people in their 20s are better. Because you've always loved that. You've always loved that whole scene of drinking and carousing and running around. Well, and
I'm a medium soul, dude. I've been 25 the whole time. When I was 10, I was 25. I wore a sport coat every day to middle school. I was like, really? We're doing this dumb shit? I was more mature than everybody when I was in middle school. And then I hit 25 and never got any older. I've been 25 the whole time.
You have been. I can attest to this. The whole time I've known you, yeah, I've been 25.
I've been 25 this whole time. That's why I like 25-year-olds, because they fucking, you know.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, let's tell each other some other jokes here. Here's what I wrote on August 31st. This is my last day of joke a day. Black Current would be a terrible name for the Underground Railroad.
Black Current.
I told that to my 16-year-old. She goes, "You can't say that, right?" I was like, "Well, I don't know. It's made me giggle."
What is Black Current? That's the part I didn't understand.
Black Currants. It's like a flavor that somehow America hasn't embraced, but you see it all the time in England, and Asian candies are black currant flavor.
Oh, see, I've never heard that.
Oh, you don't know black currant? Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was the defense for like the UCF football.
No, you can get beer and black currant topping, and it's like some reason America never embraced this flavor, but it's in all of the other cultures flavors for some reason. Yeah. I put my ex as my emergency contact on the ship. I was like, this poor woman, she doesn't want to have to deal with me when I'm alive. But if I die, like, she's got to get involved and handle all the stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, the initial phone call is going to be adulation and joy, but it's going to get worse after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's a big pain in the ass.
God forbid you're just hurt.
She gets the life insurance money, but she's got a lot to deal with. Yeah, right.
but only if she's only happy if you're dead. If you're just hurt, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, nobody wants. Yeah, right. That's the worst. It's kind of interesting that I don't know where the joke is exactly, but it's interesting that like we kind of depend on each other for like emergencies, but none of the day-to-day stuff. Like if a shark bites your leg off, I'll be there and help you and take care of the kid and everything. But I'm not buying you flowers on your birthday anymore. You know, it's like, it's funny that it's,
yeah,
it's a funny situation that you kind of have this, you got to step up in case of some big shit, but you don't owe any of the little things anymore. It's fascinating.
When I got divorced the second time, we were still really good friends. We still are. And one of the things in our divorce decree is my ex Angela has to text me when it's my parents or any of my siblings' birthdays to remind me.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Forever.
That's useful.
So we got divorced in 08, right? So that's what, 17 years ago. She'll text me, hey, today's your mom's birthday, dude. I'm like, hey, thanks, Ange. I think my mom, happy birthday, mom. I look like a big hero.
Everyone should have that person in their lives. That's great.
I mean, it's Facebook, really, but
yeah, right. Now, yeah, yeah. But, you could set up reminders at this point, but
yeah, but that was there for a long time.
That's a nice service.
Well, that was also the wife that when we got, you know, like when we got divorced, we had a serpentine fantasy football style draft for our stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love this. Yeah. He told me this. Yeah. If she picks first, you should get two in a row. That's a good, so that is the best construct.
She took the TV in the living room. I took the two TVs in the bedroom. Then she took the, you know, it was...
right. All right. Listen to this story. Ryan Borgwart had a wife and three kids.
Okay.
He faked his own death. He overturned his kayak in Green Lake, Wisconsin. He used an inflatable raft to get to the shore. He dumped his ID in the lake along the way. He rode an electric bike 70 miles to Madison. He caught a bus to Toronto. He flew to Paris, then Asia, and then into the country of Georgia, where he took up residency with the woman he met online. An investigator said he applied for a replacement passport 3 months prior, took out a life insurance policy on himself, reversed his vasectomy. And then, see, this is how hard family life is. So when a dad spends a little too much time in the bathroom, maybe you just give him a fucking break. Maybe. I'll buy a kayak, motherfuckers. Maybe you can just ease up on me.
How'd they find him?
Well, they couldn't find his body, and then they realized that he applied for a replacement passport 3 months prior. And they were like, that's a little fishy. And then they went through the whole investigation. And of course he's flying on the passport all over the earth. And
gotcha.
You know, gotcha. The life insurance policy. He definitely didn't nail it. And then the judge gave him like 89 days in jail, which is the same number of days that the fucking county was looking for him. You know, like he made this fucking mess for everybody to have to figure out.
Now, who got the life insurance? Was he trying to scan the life insurance or at least give it to his poor wife?
I think that went to the family, if I read the story right. I mean, he had no chance of getting away with it. But what an interesting... I mean,
what he should have done is done a whole fake identity, right?
Yeah, and you gotta... If you're gonna...
life insurance to...
You got a Breaking Bad this shit. You got to nail all the details and figure it out ahead of time. Right. That's right. You can't just put your kayak on the coast and throw your license in the lake and then fucking leave.
You know, that's funny.
It's a funny situation. All right, give me a joke. Something you wrote earlier. At the beginning of the month, you were texting me a joke once in a while. Someone made me laugh really hard.
So McDonald's is only good when it's fresh, like right out of the cooker, right?
Yeah.
Like I eat at the counter. You don't even have time to fucking sit down. It's ruined. Like,
oh,
like here to go. I'm like, it's for right here. No, for right here.
Yeah, I eat the fries immediately first in the car.
At the counter.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna go to the chairs. let's see. There's a new thing now where kids, Gen Z kids in their 20s, aren't having sex. They're all virgins. Have you noticed? Have you heard all that stuff? But kids aren't.
Yeah, they don't drinking. They
don't drink. They don't have sex. And I think the reason they're not having sex is because their pictures are too good with the filters and the AI. So at some point, like jerking off to the idea of what your person looks like is actually hotter than fucking what they really look like.
That's dark and terrible.
Some of these aren't funny. They're just sad and true. I get what you're saying.
I was listening to the Elton John song "Rocket Man." Has nobody like had an issue with this song ever? Have you listened to the? Have you thought about the lyrics of this song ever?
How's it go?
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. Like, what the? Neither is Florida, but people keep doing it. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, like, what? He's talking about sending his children to Mars in this song, and no one like blinks.
I thought it was Elton John. It was about Uranus, but no, it's Mars. He's singing about.
I think boarding school is borderline child abuse. You're going to send your children to Mars to be raised by somebody else? We cannot let Elton John have kids. We've got to stop this man. He's 78, not traditional breeder type.
Well, I don't think he was a breeder to begin with, but
but he might slip and fall on a woman. We can't let him have kids.
That's how much he didn't want kids. He's like, no, listen, bitch, if we have kids, I'm sending them to Mars.
So I'm sending them to Mars.
They're going to Mars. I wrote this one in Boston. So, you know, I tour with Jeff Dye, who, if you don't know who Jeff Dye is, he's a 6'4", good looking, very funny, rich comedian. famous, been on Yet Rogan, he's on whatever. And so all these women come out of the shows. Like, literally, there's always just women there, right? And they always want to hang out. And so we'll invite some to a bar afterwards or whatever. So there's these women hang out at this bar afterwards. And I was talking to a woman that I would describe as in my league. Does that make sense? Look at me. Imagine what I could get. That's what she looked like. Now she's
beautiful. I was going to say, you get the other girl in all these dynamics with Jeff, right?
No, that's not how it works at all, by the way.
please educate me. How does this work?
So she's like 55. She's like, she's got four kids that are adults. Like, her youngest just graduated from high school. She's not legally divorced yet. She's just legally separated. Like, in my league. I'm in my lane.
Right.
Okay. Her conversation tells me how no one ever thinks she's pretty. Or tells her she's pretty anymore, and she hasn't had sex in 4 years. And I go, "You're very pretty. You want to end your drought?" And she goes, "Oh no, sorry. I want to fuck Jeff."
It's a little on the nose. Like, go, yeah, we know, but that's not happening. Talk to
rich,
me.
The rich, hot, tall, famous rich guy?
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool. Do you see the woman Jeff's talking to that looks like a supermodel whose eyes are so blue they pop out of her fucking head? That's who I want to fuck. But we're here now. We're what we call settlers. Get out of the wagon. You're not going to California. You live in Oklahoma.
You're Oklahoma in this story? So
we are both. We're both Oklahoma. We're both settlers.
Yeah, I got
it. So then that was the one day joke. And the next day I added this part to it where I think, cause, and I love women. I want them empowered and all that shit, but the confidence women have right now in the world is unmatched. Like, every woman thinks she could get any man she wanted at any time. Right. And like, when a man won't date a woman, like if a girl's fucking a guy and he won't date her, she doesn't think it's her. She'll say things like, "Oh, he's emotionally unavailable. He wouldn't date anyone." It's like, no, it's you. It's you. He doesn't want to date. There's plenty of people who date. He just doesn't have access to them for whatever reason, right? Like fucking men have sex with all kinds of women they would never date. Just like women date a bunch of men they would never fuck. That's what the friend zone is. Every woman has two or three guys in her life that she does date shit with that she would never fuck, right? I have 10 of those people in my life right now. I never think, oh, why don't I date Ashley? She's sexually unavailable. No, she doesn't want to fuck me, which is fine.
That's right. You're being earnest about it. You're being upfront. Yeah, right.
So anyway, so those are two that will end up being a chunk. But like, that's so that's kind of how my brain works. I'll write one thing and then I'll start thinking about it, and then next thing you know, it's a.
I like this Oklahoma idea. Like, Oklahoma's nice, you know. Like, you just got to see the half full of Oklahoma, right? And then you give the whole pitch about yourself. Yeah, I like that.
You can make a fine life in Oklahoma, you know.
Of course. Yeah. All right, here's my favorite new joke. I have this whole thing. This is actually my brother's premise. 30 years of doing comedy, Andreas has never given me a premise that worked on stage. But this concept works, and I haven't figured out all the details yet.
Okay. Okay.
But like when a free climber like falls off a cliff and dies, there's this like, sort of like weird respect or celebration. Like, well, he died doing what he loved, right? We do the same thing with race car drivers or like bull riders or stuntmen or test pilots. There's some jobs where you're like, oh, he died doing what he loved. But what about my Uncle Jim? He died drunk in a single car accident. Nobody celebrates him. He loved drinking and driving. He died doing what he loved.
Yeah.
So then I have this whole list of people like Jim Belushi loved cocaine. He loved it. Mitch Hedberg loved heroin. These guys died doing what they loved. Abraham Lincoln loved the theater. He loved it. JFK loved parades. Right?
That's so funny.
And it could go on forever. I'm just experimenting with it and trying to figure it out. You know, Kobe Bryant loved flying private. You know,
Mama mentality is why they fucking flew, because they were like, this is too dangerous. We shouldn't do this. He's like, no, we don't give up. We never quit. We go in the face of fucking adversity. And it's like, not in a helicopter, stupid.
David Carradine loved autoerotic asphyxiation. He loved it. Died doing what he loved. Steve Irwin, impossibly the crocodile hunter, did not die doing what he loved. If anyone was destined to die doing what he loved, no, a stingray got him. The crocodiles must have been like, what the fuck? Come on. I got this giant list, and I don't know how far. Like I've gotten booze sometimes. Like Princess Di loved running from the paparazzi, right? Matthew Perry loved ketamine. Like there's people are like boo.
Well, I have a bit about what if you died and you got to heaven and you realize whatever age you died, that's how old you are for eternity.
All the
other people that you always judge had it right. The people you felt sorry for, the lucky ones. So James Dean and Marilyn Monroe look amazing. They're hanging out with Jimi Hendrix and all the people from the Titanic. And you're 95 for eternity because you spent your life eating salad and jogging and not doing cocaine like an idiot.
That's a very Chris Bowers premise.
But then I talk about the people that we always talk about the people who died too early and cry about this, but we never talk about the people who died too late.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think Kevin Spacey should have died in 2002, right after he won the Oscar, so we can still watch Usual Suspects. That'd be cool, right? Or Jared the Subway guy should have choked on a $5 footlong in 2004. That'd be better.
If you could pick a point in time.
What if O.J. Simpson would have died in a car wreck that night on his way to Nicole's house, like right before he killed her?
Oh, I'd be a hero forever.
We'd have named an airport after him. LAX would be OJI, you know?
Oh, I like that premise. You could go through and do a lot of those. It would be fun to go the other way, too. Think of people who did die in their primes and think of what horrific things they would have done later in life.
Well, that's the last joke. You know who did perfect? Because what you want to do is you want to struggle. That's the fun part, making your money, finding your people, making your life. And then you want to peak. And then you start going downhill, die. You know who did it perfect? Abraham Lincoln. Think about Lincoln's timeline. Be president, free the slaves, win the Civil War, get on the penny, die. Nice job, Lincoln.
Right.
80-year-old Lincoln bopping around history, screwing up his legacy. He's single now because Mary Todd was crazy. He's in D.C. bars hitting on black women because he thinks they owe him because he freed them or whatever. You know, using terrible pickup lines. I'd like to emancipate those titties. Oh, Jesus Christ, Dave. I wish someone had shot you in the head 8 years ago.
Because he thinks they owe him. I like that's a great line.
And that's exactly what would have happened. You know that, right?
Like hitting on black women. Oh, I love that. That's great. Now, does that work? Does that line work?
Rushes, dude.
That's a great line.
Yeah, it does really well.
Oh,
yeah.
I would work on that further. Like you could find that same construct, apply that Lincoln premise to the other characters.
Yeah, I mean, I just switched out Kevin Spacey and Jared, the subway guy. I used to do Joe Paterno died 3 weeks too late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, but no, people don't get that reference anymore, so I took it out. But, like, you know, I'd be like, look, 3 weeks early, he's got a statue on campus and a win record. Not now, dude. You know, you don't want to live too long and fuck it up. You know, that's where people are, you know.
Yeah, I did a joke with it. He's the statue of Joe Paterno has – it's him looking the other way. Like,
they just turned it. They kept it up. They just turned it away from the stadium. That is so funny.
These are good jokes. Malcolm Jamal Warner, he loved vacationing in Costa Rica. Right, Sonny Bono loves skiing.
If I'm being completely honest, because I think that where you're going to get boos is just because of how many there are. I think if you pick three, and you can do a different three every time or four, they're going to go with you and laugh every time. The Princess Diana didn't actually love running from paparazzi. She was running. That's the one you're probably going to get booed on because it's not actually true. But like fucking all the rest of them, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Plus they loved her and they hate that story. Right.
Right. Yeah. And she was not happy about it. She was like, yay, let's race. That's not what was happening. But like,
no. Right.
But with the rest of them, that's exactly what was happening. I mean, you know, fucking, it's like Dave Attell got sober. Is that good for him? I don't know. It seems miserable now. You know, if he'd have died 15 years ago drinking, would he have been had a better life? I mean, I'm glad he's still here, I guess, but like,
you know, I guess.
I don't know him personally. I'm not wishing him ill. I'm saying he's a funny comic, but like, right. You know, how do you become one of the greats? Everyone always, I mean, if Jesus would have died fucking at 65, there wouldn't be Christianity. I mean, part of the whole thing is you got to die young for me to give a fuck.
Yep, I hear you. I like that premise a lot. We should both work on these death premises further. The Menendez parents loved giving their sons a hard time. They died doing what they... How did Evel Knievel die from pulmonary fibrosis and not crashing into the fucking Snake River?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where...
How come he's die, not, like, stuck on a school bus?
Yeah, it's...
There's so many of these stories. And I went down this crazy rabbit hole when I was writing and working on this stuff. I found so many dark stories where you're like, oh, geez, I can't believe I'm reading this.
What's funny is you wrote this joke the first day, and then your whole exercise was just one of these a day for 30 days.
Oh, it got, yeah. Right.
That's the whole thing. You did. You're in the shower like, I need it. Evel Knievel. All right.
Jim Fix, drop dead of jogging. It really got dark. I mean, I went to look at Darwin Awards, and some of them are giggle worthy, but most of them are just sad. You're just like, oh, goodness gracious. And then I wrote a bunch of jokes about the ship, which actually was really useful for me at the time because I'm on the ship and I'm in Alaska. So I was like, I went like old school where I was like sitting and writing jokes about Alaska and about the ship and, you know, some of it was really fun to like go and explore all that weird stuff. And it was totally useful for the gig. You know what I mean? Yeah, like sure. Anytime I do an Alaska cruise, I could pull these out and it made it gave another dimension to the show and it felt more alive. You know, I found a way to tweak some of the jokes that I was already doing to be about the moment. And then I wrote a bunch of new jokes about Alaska and, you know, all that stuff. I told you this one. Alaska's motto is north to the future, and they cut the tagline away from your past. It does feel like everyone in Alaska is running from something.
Yeah, they're either running from a bear or their past. That's funny.
It's illegal in Alaska to wake up a bear to take a picture. It's like, maybe we should just let that law go and let natural selection take its course.
Oh, I saw your joke online the other day about the reason they can't make bear-proof trash cans is because the gap between the smartest bear and the dumbest person isn't as big as you think.
Yeah, that's right. That was a real answer that a national park guy gave.
Because if we make the garbage cans too complicated, the people can't use them.
Yeah, that's right. It's so
funny. This fucking trash can's fucking garbage. It's fucking trash. I fucking hate it don't work. It's like, the bear got in, you dipshit. The bear figured it out.
Jerry Oliver jumped in here to say hi. He's in a draft. He's in a fantasy draft, so he's missing some of it here. Maureen, what's up, lady? Maureen said, I've wondered what's up with those lyrics, yet I sing along. Thank you for chiming in on the Elton John shit. We've been talking for an hour. You got one more joke for me? Tell me something else you wrote that was fun.
So some of this too is like remembering other things you've done and then finally writing it down and making a joke, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
So like, I was in Todd McComas's wedding and So I think I'm gonna put this on stage at some point, but I've been in 17 weddings in my life. Like I have so many friends, and like I introduce a lot of people together, and so then they put me in their wedding. So I've been in 17 weddings, and when you've been that many weddings, and this is my opening of my speech at Todd's wedding to Angie. This is my opening line, but I think it'll work on stage. But so when you've been in 17 weddings, people always want to know what your winning percentage, like how many of those people.
I was just going to ask, yeah, how you doing?
And I'm 15-2, right?
Wow, so that's a great record.
It's a great record. So when you're 15-2, people always want to go, well, is there any commonalities, like in the two divorces? Is there anything that you noticed that was, you know? And I look back at it, and this is true. In both of the weddings that ended in divorce, in both instances, the groom was me. So Angie, my advice is don't marry me and you're probably good.
That is a good line. And it's and you. That speaks
the
to
two
you
divorces I've been part of were my weddings. So all the rest of them are still together.
That's funny that you count your two. You're really 15-0 for like hooking people up and being in the weddings?
Yeah.
That's astounding. You're not going to be able to sustain that. Somebody's going to break up somewhere.
I got kicked out of one wedding and they got divorced, but I wasn't in the wedding because I got kicked out by the bride right before it because she was a crazy person. And then I got divorced.
You were kicked out before. Boy, you had like a groomsman outfit and everything.
I was going to be the officiant. I was going to be the guy that, that married them. And then my wife and I broke up and she thought it'd be bad luck to have a divorced guy be the officiant at their wedding. So. She fired me as their officiant.
The day of?
No, it was like a week before, 2 weeks before.
Oh, it's crazy.
So then I went to a Reds game.
But they didn't work out.
No, they didn't work out. She was a piece of work.
I got you.
Yeah. So
That's an incredible record. I mean, even like 15-5 would be an incredible record. 15-0 is it's unbelievable. It's inconceivable. Right.
Well, I also put people that should be together together. Most people's problem is shot selection, you know. I mean, Jeff Dye has a joke where he says, you know, people's problem is that most of us date the way Hooters hires. Like, she's hot. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, everything goes wrong, you know.
It's funny that such a handsome guy knows that. It's great.
He's like, I got a buddy. Be like, yeah, sure. She set her last husband's house on fire, but look at them titties. And then cut to 2 years later, we're standing in front of his house on fire. When I help someone find their person, I've always said, if you could let your best friend make all your decisions for you, who really cared about you, you'd make way better decisions than they're left. Like if you made all Tom Simmons decisions and he made all the ones for you, you'd probably both be in better spots.
Right. Yeah. That's a great point premise. But I did a joke on my album that was, if you're going to get married, you shouldn't have to deal with the state and the church. You should have to gather a jury of your peers, right? You get the 12 people who know you the best and they have a meeting without you, your mom, your brother, your friends from way back. Mm-hmm. And they discuss it and no hung juries. And one person's like, no, that bitch is crazy. It's off. You don't get to marry that person.
It's got to be unanimous. I like that.
Right. Yeah.
That works. I mean,
that would save us all a lot of heartache.
Yeah, I agree. Because you can see other people just know what's. Oh, I have to say, I actually have my TV show I want to pitch. If I ever get a chance to do a TV show, I want to do relationship intervention. So it's the show Intervention, but for people that are in terrible relationships that just won't break up for some reason. Oh, all their friends sit them down and they're like, read letters. Okay, your relationship affects us in the following ways.
Yeah. I like this idea.
And then at the end, you got to go break up for 6 months to see what it means. And then 6 months later, we come back and say, okay, what came true? What were your fears? What happened? We're not allowed to see each other for 6 months. That's the whole point. That's the rehab.
I love this. I love this premise. You should pitch that. You should host that in your blue crushed.
I've always said if I wasn't a stand-up comic, I'd be a relationship. I'd be a counselor, like a couples counselor. Yeah. But I'd be the guy for people who should break up. Like, you come to me. I'm not saving your relationship. I'm going to help you get out of it without being mad at each other. That's our job, is to make you not use your kids as a fucking weapon. How about that?
Yeah, I like that.
It's not anybody's fault. It's not his fault or her fault. It just didn't work because sometimes things don't work. you know, and people are like, I think I can't tell many people stay in a relationship forever because they want the other one to admit it's their fault. It sucks.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like, no, just both go, this we tried, it didn't work.
And you just get in this rut. It's the same reason people stay in the jobs they hate. They're just afraid of all the other thing. And the transitional stuff is so brutal that you're just like, it'll be fine. You know, it's a similar construct.
True. And you know, I've had at this point 9 or 10 different lives that I've lived, like completely different. Like college was a whole thing. And then I lived in Indianapolis and I had my first wife and that was a whole thing. And then I got divorced and then I had my second wife and that was all my college friends or whatever. And then I got divorced there. And then I started comedy and then I bought a comedy club and there was that whole thing. And then I moved to California and we lived in the Valley and it was the pandemic and all that. And I had SDSC, that show I did during the, right. And then now there's this touring with Jeff Dye part of my life. And I'm single and the transition periods between that is usually about a year to a year and a half where things aren't ideal. You right. know, you're lonely or sad or broke or more drunk than you should be or whatever the fuck. Right. Yeah. And then you find another part, but each time I get into a better life, it's better. I mean, it's not, you know, like it's, I mean, and each part was great. Like I loved owning Morty's, right. It was fun, but like, I love this as much or more. Living in California and getting to do what I'm doing now.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So
that's cool, man. I like all that. Well, it was a cool experiment. Thanks for doing the just a month with me. I really appreciate it, man.
It helped me too. Cause it was something like where there's a bunch of stuff in here that I was like, oh, I got to write something down. What do I got? Oh, that story's pretty funny. All right. Maybe I can put that on. Like, there's just kind of things that, you know, I just hadn't thought of as jokes. And this exercise made me maybe do that. So I've definitely wrote, you know, and I got high a few more times. I got to write some jokes. And so if I take these edibles, I write a bunch of jokes, you know, it helps me kind of stimulate how my brain's working or whatever.
It's funny. Cause I, you know, like as a comic, I get so focused on the absolute have to's of, I got to prep for radio. I got to make the calls. I got to book the flights. I got to call the booker. I got to set up these little self-produced shows. I got to get a rental car and figure out the hotel. That sometimes the key to the whole operation is, of course, the writing and the being creative and the jokes, and that gets pushed aside. And it's a great reminder that you can't just wait for the muse to come speak through you. You gotta do it on purpose if you're going to be a professional at something. And so in that way, it was really good to remind myself of like, oh, this might not be the best way for me to do it, but I do need to have some kind of a system where there's some accountability and more creation than just like waiting for it to happen accidentally or to get a little lightning and then work. You know, you don't have to wait for the lightning. You can just do some work.
Right. But I also think too, maybe, you know, for me, it was like the first 2 weeks, it was okay, every day I'm going to try to sit down and write a joke. And then it got to the point where like, okay, I wrote 5 jokes. I'm good for a minute, but my goal was to have 30 by the end of the month. You know what I mean? So like, you don't have to maybe make it a daily thing, but like if your whole goal is I'm going to write 30 jokes every month, and sometimes you write 7 and sometimes you write none, you know, I don't think that's a bad way to do it either. Like to always be cognizant of I'm trying to write, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah. Well, there's that old expression of like if people who work hard get more lucky because they're, you know, that mean that you create your own luck. And it's definitely true of joke writing. Like if you write jokes, then good jokes come to you more, you know, more often because your brain is kind of in that grinding mode. And so that was a great reminder. Like I need to get myself into that mode more often. And it's almost like working out. Like you're going to burn calories just from having been a little more in shape from working out yesterday, even today. And the same thing, like I'm way more likely to stumble into a good joke when I'm not even working on it now than I was a month ago because I spent more time writing jokes. So yeah, it's a good exercise for sure. And this month coming up, I'm doing another one. My brother and I are doing steps. I've got a floor of 7,000 steps a day on average, and I'm going to try to hit 10,000, and he's going to try to do 10,000 a day. Now, not every day, but over the course of a week, that'll be the average that we're trying to do. And that's just started yesterday, and already, like tonight, I'm probably going to go for a walk right now with my kiddo that I wouldn't do otherwise if I wasn't, you know, it's the same kind of idea of like focus on a thing for a while and see how that affects your life. It's been a great experiment. I can't wait.
What I did with push-ups and sit-ups. And I've told this story on your podcast, I think before, but you know, I did one push-up and one sit-up on day 1, and then I added one a day for 100 days in a row. And then over a period of two, and then I started doing 5 days a week. And over a period of 2 years, I was doing 400 pushups and 400 sit-ups every day. And I lost 100 pounds. So like there's just, amazing. And it just, but it started with one. And then I'm going to do it every day for 100 days until it's, and you know, and it's just five pushups. And then if you do five, you can do six. And once you do six, you can do seven. And then, you know, I didn't do 400 in a row. I would do 50 and do, take a break and do 50 and take a break or whatever, but I would knock them out. And then I started doing them first thing in the morning because I found that every time I procrastinated, they got harder. Every time I said to them later, emotionally, it got harder. And I would feel bad about myself all day until I did them.
Right.
And then once I started doing them first, I still thought about them all day, but now I felt good about myself all day instead of bad about myself. I still thought about it. It's not like I just, once I did them, I didn't think about it anymore. It'd still be at lunchtime. I'd go, oh, I need to do my pushups. Oh, wait, I already did them. Right. Like it was literally not procrastinating. It really changed the whole, I mean, and I think that's a lot of,
that's a great lesson for whatever you're working on. Right. Yeah, go ahead and do it and then get it out of the way.
And I did that with everything now. Now my room, I make my bed and put my shit away every when I clean the dishes when I'm done with them right away. I don't walk by my kitchen 50 times in a week going, ugh.
Right. Right.
It takes me 14 seconds to clean a bowl out and put it in the fucking cabinet. Why am I walking by it and then the longer you wait, the harder it is. It's like people that have six loads of laundry. Like I have 10 pairs of underwear. That's one load of laundry.
Yeah, then you get the mental block, and then you get this weird downward spiral. And then you feel worse, and it gets harder to do. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so just and that's with anything you're doing. Just do it every day, and do it, you know. And eventually, it becomes it's not work anymore. It's just something you enjoy. You know, actually feel bad when you don't do push-ups.
I love it. Where do people find you, man? How do they find you? And
at Jeff Bowers Comedy. If you go to jeffdye.com, I'm with him most of those dates. So. D-Y-E, jeffdye.com. But just at Bowers Comedy is Instagram. That's what I do mostly. You know, you can find me on Facebook or whatever. I don't really tweet or whatever it's called. I don't X. I'm not one of those guys. So mostly it's my Instagram, at Bowers Comedy.
Cool. And don't forget to join All Pro Lines Confidence Pool. It's an awesome way to enjoy football, and we'll make a little money for the V Foundation. You can play against Bob Kavoyan and Andreas Economopoulos and Bowers.
Since I have you here, Kostaki, my draft is in 18 minutes. It starts.
Oh, cool.
I just realized I am the first pick, which I,
oh, hate. Shit.
I hate being the first pick.
It's one of two people in my mind.
Well, who are they? Who are the first picks?
Well, you're a Bengals fan. Just pick Jamar Chase and go on with your life.
No.
You're afraid?
I never pick Bengals because the whole reason I have a fantasy team is so if the Bengals suck, I have a secondary thing to watch.
Well, then you got to pick Bijan.
Not Saquon?
Bijan's safer. He's in a safer environment, and he doesn't have 400 carries from the year prior. He's also younger. Like he's less of an injury risk. You don't want to have an injury with your first pick.
Now, what do you think about Jenty?
Jenty will be great, but he's not an established thing yet. He might not be great, and we know for a fact that Bijan is great.
All right.
Genty's 90% to be great. Bijan's 100% to be great.
I was really hoping I'd have the ninth pick. I hate having the first pick.
You could probably trade if you want. A lot of people want that first pick. The good thing about the first pick is not only do you get the first pick, but you get the first pick in the third round and the fifth round and the seventh round.
That's true. That's a good point.
Which is nice. Plus
that first round. But I also, like, when I was with Jeff, we were in Houston, and I remembered that the worst thing that ever happened to me was my first pick in the fantasy football draft was Andre Johnson the year he was hurt the entire fucking year. He didn't play.
Oh, yeah. We all have one of those.
But he played, you know what game he did play? The first game of the playoffs where he had two touchdowns against the fucking Bengals. There's nothing worse than your first round pick not playing a single fucking snap the whole year and then beating your actual team in the playoffs. Oh, my God. I was so fucking mad. I hated that guy. Jesus Christ. It was the worst ever.
Well, good luck in the draft, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you guys. And if you're thinking of doing something out there, that you're thinking of trying a thing, try it. Give yourself just a month. It's an easy premise. In fact, if you want to join us and do steps this month and keep track and jump on the podcast, let me know. We'll maybe even throw you on. My goal is 7,000 with a possible, I'm going to take a swing at 10,000.
How many miles is that?
Andrea said it's like 4 miles ish, four plus for 10,000
a day. I'm trying to walk 3 miles a day, and I think that's 6,000 steps.
I mean, you get some credit for just you're getting to the car and walking around to school and back, and you know, all these things all count, but you know, there's got to be like a significant walk in there as well. Yeah, not every day, but most of the days. It's a different lifestyle than what I'm currently living. I was doing it on the ship because I would, first of all, you walk around the ship a lot, and then you get off in Juneau and just go. You know, you walk a lot when you're in these little towns, but my regular life doesn't have that. So I need to, that's what I'm trying to experiment with is.
Yeah, I added a walk a year into my weight loss thing, and I walked 3 miles. I walked from my house up Hollywood Boulevard all the way down to Vine, which is a mile and a half. But I just walked down Hollywood Boulevard every day to remind myself where I live. And, you know, it's just a fun walk. There's a lot of people watching and.
Yeah, you know, that's cool. I like that.
What I try to do is I try to find a girl who's a little bit ahead of me that looks hot and see if I can catch her. She doesn't know I'm doing that. And I don't talk to her. I just walk by her and be like, all right, I did it.
It doesn't count as creepy if it's a secret.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's true, but okay.
Words to live by. There's a closer for everyone to mull over.
It doesn't count as creepy if it's a secret, because knocking on a monopolist. That's your quote. That's the quote on your tombstone. It doesn't count as creepy if it's a secret. Because knocking. What was he talking about? That's so funny.
Hey, we found an ending. That's good. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Where's the music?
Oh. That's what Epstein's doing after.
Great.
That's a cat as creepy as a secret. That might be the
time. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs. Plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.